Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Raised Up, Chapter 7, Heresies Among You. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19 says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." We see in this verse a truth that heresies have a place in God's overall economy of things as pertains to his justice in dealing with men. Every person is given a choice according to Holy Scripture. Those who do not choose to fear him and therefore love his truth are sent by him a strong delusion. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 10 through 12 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." First deception, then delusion, and ultimately unending, irrevocable damnation is the final result to be reaped by all who do not choose to foster in their lives a love for their Creator's truth. Eternal life, divine revelation, understanding, and insight are granted to all who are in Christ. The insight or understanding of heaven is given to those who humble themselves and follow Christ, who is the truth, just as he prescribed in his word. This relationship begins when the individual hears the voice of God calling him to repentance and responds obediently, putting his faith in Christ. The called person must choose to follow Jesus by denying himself and taking up his cross, that is, dethroning himself and putting God first in his personal life. Now, the reason heresies and deceivers prosper. Below are listed two of the reasons fad books become bestsellers, heresies thrive, beguilers flourish, and deception prospers exponentially among millions who claim to be Christians. For these same reasons, millions who claim to be saved will not be ready and admitted into Christ's kingdom when the bridegroom, that's Christ, soon returns. Reason number one: so many want some man to tell them what their purpose is because they claim to know Jesus and are still running around life in a confused state. Why? Because they have not thus far refused to seek his holy face for themselves, poring over his words and seeking him in prayer communion. They are therefore empty and still void of any revelation and understanding as to foundational truths revealed in Holy Scripture, like who Jesus really is, Christology, the study of Christ, why God created man, what went wrong between God and mankind, why did Jesus come to the earth, etc. You see, it is only in going to God himself the one who created us and died for our sins, that one will ever understand his divinely given purpose. What is that purpose? It is the glory our Maker, it is to glorify our Maker by following Christ in his gospel, dying, being buried deep with him in death to self, and seeing his holy hand of power resurrect us to glorify him. Reason number two, regrettably and astoundingly, one can observe that the vast majority of people in leadership in this late hour refuse to point people to the source with a capital S. They would rather be the source. They refuse to lay down their lives and therefore or thereby be instruments of Jesus to build his true church as they point people to him alone, to his word and their need to know it themselves and to seek God in prayer fervently and perpetually. These are hireling idle shepherds, according to Zechariah 11:17, I-D-O-L, idle shepherds. And by them, there has been induced on the earth famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, Amos 8:11. As he warned us all, many of God's people have already waxed cold in their hearts, leaving their first love, that's Jesus, and are forfeiting their relationship and eternity with him due to being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Any man in leadership who is not teaching people that they need Jesus and is not teaching them to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, that's the Bible, Isaiah 34:16, is a self-serving, vile, and venomous wolf of which we have been often warned by Christ and his apostles. Due to personal rebellion and the epidemic of wolves, many men are void of the understanding of their own need to draw nigh to the Lord in repentance and to seek his face, to seek the Lord for themselves, putting Jesus first in all things as they lay down their lives that they might reign in and that he might reign in and through them. Amen. The glorious 66 books of the canon of Scripture. While driving my car recently, I was listening to a radio program that airs every morning for 3 hours. The host reads from another man's book. He narrates man's words to his large listening audience, which listens and apparently does not object. I suspect that those who are blessed to be brought into the light of truth cannot bear or do not have ears for such. As usual, what he was reading from in a man's man's book was godless conjecture, human philosophy, foolish psychology, and reasonings. Whatever happened to God's word, friend? Whatever happened to the centrality of the Holy Scriptures? Whatever happened to what saith the Scriptures? Where did the Holy Scriptures disappear to? Where are those who are zealous for the Lord and therefore his holy words? What about his glorious 66 books that make up the canon of the Bible? This man and so many others today have displaced God's word for their own inferior and temporal reasonings, philosophies, theologies, theories, rationalisms of sinful men. Colossians 2:8 warns us, beware lest any man spoil, that means to ruin you, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Those who migrate to the words and philosophies of mere men, esteeming them higher than the words of God, demonstrate that they are idolaters and savors not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Matthew 16:23. Jesus draws a conclusion concerning those who savors not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He infers that they are of Satan. Matthew 16:23. The Son of God says of religionists that they will not come to him, even though they are zealous of their religion and its beliefs. John 5:39-44. Always remember that true disciples of Jesus have an ear for God's word, and like Paul the Apostle, all obedient and faithful messengers of the Lord are mere conduits of His Holy Spirit and truth, so that men's affections and faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4 says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Ezekiel 3, verse 4. We see clearly in this passage that when God sends a man to speak to his people, he sends that man to speak God's words and not his own or anyone else's words or message. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, in all things, so that God may be glorified in Jesus Christ, to the praise, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." 1 Peter 4, 11. The Bible tells us that Jesus will reward those who love and serve him, that is, instead of self, and as they do so faithfully, they will be blessed now and forever with his joy. Matthew 25, verse 23. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What kind of messenger am I? Should we not each of us ask before the Lord as we examine ourselves as to what kind of messenger are we? At this point, notice Proverbs 25:13, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Even when it snows and it's cold, he will go out and do the work faithfully." He's what the Bible calls here a faithful messenger. Proverbs 25, verse 13. Even when it's snowing outside and cold, a faithful messenger is faithful to serve his master and get the job done. No matter what the inconvenience, no matter what temptations come to move us off of God's word, we must remain diligently faithful to our Lord and give forth his pure word in season and out of season. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. "The Master, our Master, Jesus, is well pleased at all of the faithful messengers who obey him by letting him speak for himself as they simply communicate the preserved and purified words of holy truth." Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Jesus says of the Father's word, "Thy word is truth." And so we know God's words and truth are synonymous. They are one. John chapter 17, verse 17. "There is no need to search the universe that God made for truth. God has already given it to man in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Scriptures. God's word is divine wisdom, truth, and his perfect will. those who know him, embrace him, that is, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and communicate those things, truly demonstrate their love for he who is the truth, Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Proverbs 12, 17. Did you catch that, my friend? Read the verse above again, please. Let's recite it again. Proverbs 12, 17. "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Those who speak God's word show it forth or display it, while those who speak any other message are false witnesses. They are full of deceit, that the Lord desires to circumcise or cut away out of their hearts. Blaise Pascal said this. He said, "And is it not obvious that, just as it is a crime to disturb the peace when truth reigns, it is also a crime to remain at peace when the truth is being destroyed? Weaklings are those who know the truth but maintain it only when in their interest to do so, and otherwise forsake it." Blaise Pascal, the crucified disciple, migrates toward and acquiesces toward divine truth while shunning and despising that which is contrary. His heart has been and is being circumcised to hear God's words, and he has and continues to, quote, "buy the truth and sell it not." Proverbs 23:23. His heart says with Paul, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Romans chapter 3, verse 4. He embraces what Jesus stated concerning his words, and that's this: "The scripture cannot be broken." John chapter 10, verse 35. Like Jeremiah, members of the little flock of the Father seek out and devour the words of their Lord. Luke 12:32. And notice Jeremiah 15:16. "Thy words," he said, "were found." He's telling God that he found his words. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Without fail, God's people, Christ's saints, value his truth. It is more important than their necessary food, just as was the case with the beloved Job. Notice Job 23:12. Job writes, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job 23:12. The Lord is pleased to grant ears to hear to those who participate with him in the process of circumcision of their hearts. Acts 7:51 says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Acts 7:51. The religious person who is hardened by sinful pride and is therefore stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears has no appetite for the Word of God. Those who are genuinely born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God have tasted, experienced, and seen that the Lord is gracious. These invariably delight in and desire the sincere milk of the Word. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Bible uses the word affections in Galatians 5:24. According to the divine economy, in order to locate where we stand with Christ, we need not look any further than our appetites, affections, and what we have ears to hear. Notice Galatians 5, verse 24 says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They that are Christ have the affections of their hearts set upon Jesus and the things and work that pertain to his kingdom, and not to the things of this sinful world system. They migrate to and delight in meditating upon and talking about Christ by communing in his wonderful word. Those who are not born again or are not presently abiding in relationship with Jesus find no pleasure in his words or in talking about him. Concerning those who do not remain in Christ, that is, remain saved, abide, continue in Christ, Jesus told us that they will be cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them, and they are cast into the fire, and they are burned. John 15, verse 6. They are carnal and cannot please God. Notice Romans 8, 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Note that we see here in Romans, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 5 through 8. This is how we can test whether we are of God or against Christ. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Matthew 12, 30. One's mere verbal profession doesn't guarantee he is truly saved, especially if there is not clear proof, that is, clear fruit being produced, that there is a soul-saving relationship with Jesus. The person who is not hungering for more of Christ, is not devouring his word, does not have a prayer life or a life of prayer, and does not financially support God's work, is clearly not walking with the Lord. The fruit of his life plainly reveals that he is what the Lord terms carnally minded, and is therefore abiding in spiritual death or separation from God. This person should either repent fully or just go live it up, because he is hell-bound in his current condition. When a person's life is in Christ, when a person belongs truly to Christ, the fruit of his life testifies of that fact clearly with what he does and where his focus is, that is, on heavenly things rather than earthly things. Notice Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. You see, without exception, the person who is given over to the Lord is given over to his cause. What concerns God concerns him. His finances, actions, and heart are behind Christ's gospel. He is about his Father's business and not his own. What business the Lord declared and demonstrated to be important is important to the truly saved person. Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." There's a simple fruit checker to see if we are walking in the Spirit or in the flesh. If we mind his things, we are of him. And if we don't, we aren't. The mind which sets its affections upon the Lord is a mind filled with grace, energy, will, and work toward what is important to Christ. The man with such a mind is kept in perfect peace because he is presenting himself a living sacrifice to the Lord, and his mind is set upon things above, not on things of the earth. In contrast, those who have their mind set upon the things of this world prove they are serving themselves and not the Lord. Philippians 3:18 and 19 says, "For many of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Philippians 3:18 and 19. Those who have been and are being crucified in heart, as they are daily perpetually crucified with Christ, turn away from and expose lies, and they have ears for and love for divine truth given to us in the written word. The affections of their hearts are upon Christ and his coming and everlasting kingdom, and not on the things of this sin-cursed temporal world. They are therefore busy dying, that his power and grace might reign in them to the cutting away of anything in their lives that does not bring glory to Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Colossians 3, 1 through 5. Only the work of the Holy Spirit through the inner working of the cross can bring about the sanctified life, which includes upward affections and a circumcised, broken, contrite, humble heart of flesh that responds perfectly and delightfully to the voice and words of the precious Savior. Notice Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, 4, and 14. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" Circumcision involves the cutting away and removal of that which is excess. It was the sign of the covenant of the Lord with his people Israel, and is also the sign or work of his fruit of his work in all of his people today. Notice Romans 2, 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but is of God. Romans 2, 28 and 29. What was physical under the old covenant is spiritual under the new covenant. All who the Lord saves are positionally crucified with Christ and yet must buy into and participate in the gospel by dying, being buried, and trusting and allowing God to raise them up, as we know He will. We who have been born again have been crucified with Christ and circumcised inwardly and are to follow suit daily in this crucified life. According to the above passage from the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 4, vain thoughts must be taken away and circumcised from the hearts of God's people. If a person does not hear God's word, it is clear that they are not of God. They are not set apart by Him in salvation and for His use. Jesus said, John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Here Christ makes it crystal clear that those of God heareth God's words, and those not of God refuse to embrace, to hear and embrace and to do the words of God. Those who steer away from God's word or do not get into it for themselves and have no hunger for it are simply not of God, according to the Almighty Himself in John 8:47. Jesus told us that those who are ashamed of Him or His words are not of Him and will not be going to heaven. Mark 8:38. Jesus told us that God is a spirit, and if a person does not worship Him in spirit and in truth, it is because that person does not know Him and is not known of Him. Christ said that this was a must. It's an essential. Notice John 4:23 and 24. Jesus said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The only way that an individual can be saved and serve God in spirit and in truth is to be first born again. John chapter 3 verses 1 through 8. When he is born again and continues abiding in Jesus, he will worship God in spirit and in truth and have no confidence in the flesh or the fleshly things of mere men. Notice Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It is only when the cross of Christ has had its way in circumcising a man's heart that he can begin to delight in God. Notice Psalms chapter 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, the law of the word is within my heart. The cross and its mortifying of the sinful nature separates the heart from carnality, hardness, deceit, filthiness, and self-will, allowing it to hear clearly and respond obediently to the Lord. Those whose hearts are full of self instead of the Savior heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth, according to 2 Timothy 4:3. These who have a mere form of godliness and are lovers of their own selves help fulfill the prophecies of the exponential multiplicity of deceivers foretold of this late last hour. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Notice 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All leaders who do not communicate his pure word are false teachers and are only supported by those whose hearts are not given over to Christ. His faithful messengers are joyfully overflowing with the treasures he has deposited in the earthen vessels. Their earthen vessels and their cups run over onto those they serve with the gospel. The psalmist prayed thus concerning evil communicators who spawn and propagate heresies that lead people away from Jesus. He wrote this in Psalm 140, verse 11, let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. It's only as men are not circumcised in heart and ear that they allow, endorse, enable, condone, support, and cause false prophets to prosper by bidding Godspeed to them, according to 2 John verses 7 through 11. Only dead or crucified men who are in their personal lives preferring the Lord above themselves can and will contain the life of Christ and speak his holy words faithfully. Many today who hold positions of leadership and influence simply do not want to die and be crucified with Christ. A.W. Tozer wrote the following, the flesh, smiling and confident, preaches and sings about the cross. Before that cross it bows, and toward that cross it points with carefully staged histrionics. But upon that cross it will not die, and the reproach of that cross it stubbornly refuses to bear. That's A.W. Tozer. It's only misled men who mislead men. Misled men are men who deny the daily cross Christ commanded us to take up. Uncrucified men will deny Christ by delivering a message different from the one he delivered. Notice William McDonnell writes the following, a third defect in our message is our tendency to keep the terms of discipleship hidden until a decision has been made for Christ. Our Lord never did this. The message he preached included the cross as well as the crown. We popularize the message and promise fun, the result of all of which is that we have people believing without knowing what they believe, with no doctrinal basis for their decision. They do not know the implications of commitment to Christ. They have never experienced the mysterious, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. It's only as we cry out for the Lord to increase, and as we ourselves decrease, that Christ's power, life, and message can reign in our mortal bodies. Only those whose lives are laid down can possibly be raised up by him to be used of him, and they, by his divine ability, make Jesus known, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches in this late hour? Revelation chapter 2 and 3. It's only as we are flattened, prostrate, and bowed down before His majesty that He will elevate us in His power, wisdom, and grace to know Him and to be used of Him. We are not worthy to be saved into His family or used of Him, and without Christ, we can do nothing. John 15:5. Are we truly crucified with Christ? The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Be it known that only crucified men can glorify God, and only crucified men do not mislead others, nor do they follow false prophets who are the enemies of Christ and the cross of Christ. They have ears to hear and a heart to faithfully embrace the words of the one they love supremely, Jesus Christ. Let us pray together, friends. Father, please break me, crush me, that I might be abased in thy holy presence and thereby preserved of you. Grant a teachable and contrite heart, Heavenly Father. Give me a heart after you and ears to hear what you would say to your people in this late hour. Lord, I love you and thank you for dying to mediate between God and men, Jesus. I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ, my Lord, lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon. And you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.